And joining me right now here on a Friday, go latest on football, is we got a big weekend coming up in the NFL with Super Wild Card Weekend. This guy does a great job with the Jaguar Report and also Black and Gold Banneret. He's my good friend Kyle Nash. Kyle, how you doing today?
Hey, great to be aboard, Mark. Glad to talk to you. And listen, first of all, I don't mean to hijack your show, but what's up with your Bears? Why haven't they moved on Eberflus yet? What's going on, man?
You like the idea that there's all these openings, and you even have Bill Belichick available, and the Bears are like, nah, we're just going to stay with Eberflus. Just what?
Well, it's not even that. Like, it's not even all the big names on the market. That's a great point. I take nothing from that. But how about all the draft picks and all the candy and all the groceries you have put out there, or rather this quarterback draft, among others, has put out there, and you have a long list, a shopping spree, essentially the NFL equivalent to like a Whole Foods gift card. Mm. Get whatever you want in the first round. We have a bunch of picks. Thank you, Carolina Panthers, for investing so much in Bryce Young. Now, you know how we felt when we did Mitchell Trubisky and the 49ers, but I digress. And you're still going to be like, nah, we're good. Keep this Eberflus guy in the building. I just don't get it.
Like, there's good teams, there's bad teams, and then the Bears are just in the corner. They're just, yeah, I'm good. Yeah, I mean, no, don't worry about it. We're fine. We make money off our name and brand. Don't worry. We're good. It was funny the other day where they announced, okay, the following teams are going to play overseas in Europe next year. And it said the Bears are going to be in London. And the Bears official Instagram and Twitter posted photos, and Justin Fields is on there. What? So this is what you need to do. And by the way, I have questions for you, but I like you throw it right at me at the top here. You can't show your hand. This is poker. Don't show your hand until the Bears are on the clock with the first pick. You got to let these other teams be scared, and you got to let them get desperate, where maybe they want the number one pick. Don't do it now. Don't show your hand. Wait till we get to draft night. Do you feel that way?
There's something to be said for that for the other picks. Mm. But at day's end, when you got that top pick and you got Caleb Williams and Michael Penix and Bo Nix and a long list of quarterbacks, I'm not to waste my time talking about Drake May and how overrated he is in the ACC, just like Sam Howell was. I got these other guys in the top pick, and they're like, nope. We good. Now, that being said, if the 5D chess is in place and they're doing what we're, you know, they're doing something different and clandestine, if you will, perhaps you have a point. But, I mean, listen, sometimes you overthink things and you don't do them the way they're supposed to be. You go too far. You get cute when the answer is just run it up the middle instead of trying to do pass the ball on third down. Sorry, that was a Jacksonville Jaguar reference. Maybe you caught that. But I mean, yes and no. That's what I'm saying.
Here's what also happened. So the second to last game, they play Atlanta, and they look fantastic. And Fields looks fantastic. If that would have been the end of the season, then you're like, all right, we're all in on Fields. We'll bring everyone back. We got momentum. We got draft picks. All right, here we go. No. No. God wouldn't allow that to happen. No. They had to end. The end to end at Green Bay looked terrible, and Jordan Love looks like the next Aaron Rodgers. That's what it's like being me. So I don't wish that upon you, Kyle. That's my point.
Hey, I mean, if you were trying to wish bad things from happening, you know, I would have preferred not to cover so many O-line injuries here with the Duval DeVout there. Okay, that would have been my choice to avoid that. You know where I live in the trenches, Mark Moses. By the way, what? Bears missing also an opportunity to sell high on Justin Fields while he's looking so good at the end of the year. No, we're good. We don't want to sell high. We want to get like a seventh rounder for him.
Sure.
Doubles again.
Sure. You know. You bring up Jacksonville. What happened last Sunday in that debacle in Nashville?
Man, I'll tell you, it's a hard thing to really grasp, because when the Titans came to Duval, they were dominated, completely dominated. I think the first domino is Will Levis not starting actually helped the Titans, because they were trying to do more than just get the knockout punch with the down-the-field throw. Tannehill criticized want to. He's definitely shows he can manage games. He can hit. windows better than a rookie quarterback can. I don't think that's, you know, a bold statement, but the real piece, Mark Moses, is the way that the Jacksonville line got pushed around on defense by a mediocre Titans offensive line. You know, credit to Trayvon Walker for getting his 10 sacks in the season. You know, something, he's a bust, just ask all the fans, whatever, allegedly. That was sarcasm, by the way. But, yeah, I think those are the two main things that were different this time. You know, having Tannehill throw accurate passes and chip away, and then our offensive line creating the holes that they did and just pushing around the interior of the Jags D-line. Well, if that happens, you know King Henry's going to break off a bunch of yards. And that's all it boiled down to in my mind.
Was this season a huge disappointment?
Well, yeah. I for those out there, including, you know, my editor, John Shipley, at the Jaguar Report, who said 13 wins. Now, some of us were more even-keeled and said 10 wins, and I missed it by one. So at the very least, there's a slight disappointment, right? You know, the missing of the playoffs when you feel like when you had to back the truck into the wrong space to make it happen, right? One in the last six games after starting 8-3, that's the part that's disappointing for sure. So, yeah, you would have to say yes, regardless of what your expectation was to open.
All right, if Trevor Lawrence and his agent go to the front office and say, we want the massive deal, if you're the front office, you give it to him right now.
I don't think so. Or at least I don't think that's what those front office would do. At this point, the Jags have pieces that are good, but they're going to all need to be paid at the same time. You could put yourself in a position, theoretically, if you wanted to do this, which I'm not saying they will, to put enough tools together to get a Trevor Lawrence replacement, air quotes, if he wants to play hardball. I don't think that's going to happen. I think that would be horrible business. I think you're trying to campaign on a year where your quarterback suffered three significant injuries. That wouldn't be the move to start pounding the table for the money now. Now, if it was like Tua and there were concussions and, you know, there was something else to where Trevor would need more security, maybe. But even then, now wouldn't be the time to pound that table. I don't think the Jags have to worry about that right now, is I guess what I'm saying.
All right, here's my take. He has not lived up to expectations yet. I get it. You won the division last year. You won a playoff game. That was great. This was supposed to be a big year for Trevor Lawrence, and especially you said 8-3 going into December, and it was just a collapse, an epic collapse for this franchise. Yeah. I need more. And this is what's really bad, and I want your take on this. We're here with Kyle Nash, Jaguar Report, and Black and Gold Banneret. Next year, and I've said this all week, next year, they're not the favorite in the AFC South. It's Houston, or it's Indianapolis who is going to get better. I don't think Jacksonville's the favorite. Do you feel they are?
Do I think Jacksonville's the favorite right now? No, obviously not. Because we've seen – I had questions about the offensive line. Let me go back. Let me combine your last question in this one, Mark.
Okay.
I think where it all went wrong, where the disappointment sets in, was back in the draft. Now, granted, I had given myself pause in camp, seeing guys perform that were drafted, but I – had concerns with the drafting of Tank Bigsby and Brandon Strange getting pulled on. They didn't really need a tight end in my mind. With all of that going on with Brandon Strange and Bigsby getting drafted there, where I felt like they should have gotten a Joey Porter Jr., right? That's something that he was available in the second, I think in the third round as well. Instead, the Steelers got a hold of him. That could have helped down the stretch this year. I know hindsight's 20/20, but how many injuries with, you know, you had a week where in Cleveland you're going into the game with your starters both out, Trey Herndon and Tyson Campbell both on the bench, you know, because they're injured. You could have used that extra guy. Ezra Cleveland got picked up in the midseason to fill in on the O-line, and you still needed more help that you could have gotten augmenting Anton Harrison. Those were the pieces that they needed. And, I mean, I'm not going to be this guy and go back to 2 years ago where I said, I told you shouldn't have extended Cam Robinson because the dude's guaranteed to miss time. Not that he's a bad player, but some of his ability isn't covered in availability, right? Cam had the suspension going into the season, also missed significant time with injury, as he tends to do. So with all of those pieces, you got a bigger running back that you didn't need because you had D'Ernest Johnson in the building, who's excellent at doing that anyway. By the way, a cheaper guy among vets. And then also, you got this extra tight end you didn't need when you extended Evan Engram. I don't get it. I don't get it. And those are the, I think those are the pieces that need to be criticized more than yes. anything else on the field, in my opinion. You could be critical of Trevor Lawrence, but the O-line in the interior was awful. Their center is turning out to be among the worst in the NFL among starters right now. That's an issue. You got the issues there in the interior line that I mentioned. It wasn't all Trevor, and there were plenty of times where he had great moments despite not having the staff. And towards the end of the year, I think the injuries caught up with him, and he got less confident standing in the pocket, and you saw that suffer and some of the connections. And by the way, we're talking disappointments. Let's not let Calvin Ridley off the hook here. Everyone talks about the Kansas City Chiefs and drops. Ridley had plenty of those, too. The amount of almost touchdowns between Trevor Lawrence and his receiver corps, including Calvin Ridley, filled out a two-minute highlight reel I saw on Twitter. I wish I remembered the handle. I'd give it credit. This isn't all on Trevor. That's all I'll say.
But he's the face of the franchise.
Yeah, I mean, that's the tough part about being the quarterback. That's
I know. I mean, it, look, you know. Ridley, there was a play on Sunday, which, by the way, feels like it was 5 months ago. Lawrence threw a heave to him, a bomb, and he didn't get it. That was the season. I mean, that and the fourth down play where Lawrence changed it at the line, and then it was bad. It was bad. It was. But you know what? I like the Jaguars. But you know what? The more exciting team's going to represent the division tomorrow. In the Texans, in C.J. Stroud. I'm sorry. That's what it is right now. I get it. It buries the Jaguars, but the more exciting team's going to play tomorrow, and that's how I feel. How about you?
Well, no, hey, you're absolutely right. And I make the point that the season was decided for the Jags in that draft and in the offseason preparation. Look at the Texans. Their first round, phenomenal. If a team had that much success in just the first round and missed on everybody else, they would be getting their entire rear ends graded off with a bunch of A's and high marks from all the power, you know, the pundits that do the draft Nick stuff, right? And then they, by the way, get Tank Dell as well. By the way, that wouldn't pan in the meantime. But yeah, also signing Laramie Tunsil. Granted, he missed time too, being hurt and such. But who the heck wasn't on that roster? I mean, goodness gracious, C.J. Stroud delivering, Will Anderson Jr. campaigning for defensive player, rookie of the year as well. We all know Stroud is going to get offensive. Like, I mean,
yes.
Why are we talking about this? You know, so that team, it's just the same thing. The better team, one could argue the more dynamic team, I think was the way you put it, is making the playoffs, and it's on the strength of having a good draft, period.
Well, I think they won that Deshaun Watson trade. Hands down.
Oh, yeah. I mean, goodness gracious.
They got three first-round picks for him. Three. It's just wild. It is. Are you ready to make your wild card picks with me?
Yeah, let's rock and roll, man.
All right, we're here with Kyle Nash. Everyone's making their picks. You're up next. Cleveland Browns at Houston Texans. Who you got?
You know, as much as defense is alleged to win championships, and I've been talking about the Browns being the most underrated defense in the NFL, I'm not brave enough to pick against C.J. Stroud here. I think he does some amazing things. I think Will Anderson scares Flacco back onto the couch. No disrespect to Joe Flacco doing what he's done as the fourth of five quarterbacks who played for the Browns this year. But, yeah, I think the magic for Cleveland is done here. Give me Houston to advance.
You know, it just hit me. I can't believe I haven't thought of this yet. It's Cleveland versus Houston, and they made the Deshaun Watson trade. And Watson, and Watson's not playing in this game. It's bizarre.
I mean,
it's so bizarre.
You're not wrong, buddy. You're not wrong.
All right. Dolphins, Chiefs, the Frozen Tundra, whatever we're calling this, the Ice Bowl 3. Well, who do you like?
You know, one thing that's run colder than anything else is the Dolphins defense, and you're asking me to pick that over Patrick LeVon, Mahomes II, and Travis Michael Kelce. I don't care how bad that offense has looked. I got the Chiefs here in Arrowhead.
All right. Steelers-Bills, 1 o'clock Sunday. Who you got?
If they had T.J. Watt, this would be difficult. They don't. I got the Bills taking on Mason Rudolph. The holiday season is over. Nobody cares about red noses and Christmas names. I have the Bills taking care of business.
I'm going to go Josh Allen. He'll throw for 250 yards, 3 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. He'll fumble, but they'll win by 20. Well, how about that?
That's a good stat line.
That's what it's going to be. All right. Green Bay and Dallas, 4:30 on Fox Sunday.
Yeah, this is among the tougher games to pick in my mind. Jordan Love is hot, but, I mean, the Cowboys have been playing quality football. I have the Cowboys today because they're actually at home. If they were traveling, that might be a different conversation. Listen, I've said all season up until the later part here that I don't love what the Packers did with Jordan here. But at the end of the day, that ground game is what makes them dangerous. Still, I have the Cowboys defense taking care of business and getting the first playoff win for Dallas in a while.
Rams at Lions, Sunday night.
This game is scary dangerous for one reason alone. The Rams are good where the Lions are terrible. Listen, you could bite kneecaps all you want. If the boxer can still throw punches, they may be able to have an effective fight. It's going to be a better game than anyone thinks. I have the Rams here. John Matthew Stafford gets revenge on his old team.
Buccaneers-Eagles, Monday Night Football.
Listen, with the way the Eagles have played, I don't care if Baker Mayfield is hurt. As long as they're in the postseason, I am picking against them right now. The Eagles have shown me beyond a reasonable doubt that they are not a team I can trust in the postseason right now, just with the way things have looked. As odd as it sounds, I'm saying the NFC South representation is going to win a playoff game. Hey, at least they have a winning record this year hosting a game. But, yeah, I got the Bucks, Mark Moses.
And finally, I'm sorry you weren't at the UCF win over Kansas. I'm sorry, man. You had other stuff to do. I'm sorry. It was great. I don't even know. Was it a Twilight Zone episode? I still don't know how they won the game. I have no idea. I don't know. But they did. Is that the biggest win in the history of the program?
I mean, as far as, well, yeah, for basketball, I don't think it's close. I mean, there are some others there. Like, I'll say this. Had they won the Duke game in the tournament,
yes,
you know, with the Taco Fall in that group, that would have been the only thing that might have been bigger in my mind. But this is certainly, and I was talking about this with Nick Porcelli and Eric Lopez on the Night Shift podcast with the Black and Gold Banneret.
Bing!
I think the best way to put this is this is easily the biggest brand that UCF has beaten in any sport, right? What's bigger than Kansas basketball where the Knights found themselves victorious? I'm not sure that there's a good answer for that. I'm willing to hear it. Hey, listen, the SOTG on Twitter, let me know if you got a better idea. Let Mark know. Let us know if you think there's a bigger brand that UCF's beaten, because I can't think of it.
I think it's the biggest win of the program, and it's funny where I think Johnny Dawkins said it. All right, we'll celebrate till midnight, then we got another game. That's right. This is going to be a gauntlet the next couple of months. Because you got BYU's ranked in the top 15 on Saturday as well. I mean,
exactly.
And then you think, all right, you have this, and then next season there's even more teams like Utah and Arizona that are top 25 teams. Man, this. Do you have any eligibility? You're a tall guy. They might need you out there. Let's go.
Hey, listen, Ibrahim Diallo has done the job, my guy. Say what you will, and as much as the commentators, all they could talk about when he hit a fadeaway over Dickinson, the Kansas All-American. Oh, he doesn't normally make that shot. For like 3 minutes, they're talking about how Diallo doesn't normally make that shot. First of all, doesn't normally take that shot. That's not what he's asked to do. But the guy said in the postgame he's had more confidence at this point in the season than anything leading up to it. Ibrahim Diallo handled business. That's a big part of it, too. Sure, they got slightly out-rebounded by like 4, I think, 32 to 28, something like that. But 13 points by him and then 35 points from Darius Johnson and Jalen Sellers. Listen, I'm still a buyer on Sellers. There's nothing else to say about that.
It's the first time I've ever been a part of a court storming. Have you? Have you done that before?
No. Hey, listen, for safety purposes, I'm glad I wasn't involved in a court storming. I'm a pretty big guy. I don't need to be knocking kids over, man. You know.
Yeah, you played offensive line. You could handle yourself. Dude, let me tell you, there was this weird feeling I'd never been around where there's this rumbling with the fans with about 30 seconds to go. Like, they're getting on the court. I'm sorry, 65-year-old security guy working that night. We're pushing you out of the way. Like, they found their way on the court. It was awesome. It really, and no one got hurt. Luckily, it was a good crowd, and it was a big win, buddy. Big win. And the thing I thought about you is, you know, I've been to post-game conferences there at the stadium. Johnny Dawkins shows up, and you do a great job. You'll be in the front row, and there's a couple reporters there. There were a lot of people there post-game because Kansas brought their press corps. I'll just say that. It was impressive to see.
It was.
What should we check out, buddy, with your stuff this weekend, especially for NFL playoff coverage coming up?
Well, listen, I got a lot of stuff going on here. Of course, the Duval Dive, according to Matt, today, and that'll be out to wrap the season. You know, I'll clean off Travis Holmes' tears, my co-host there. And I'm going to be talking to Drake Toll, a Locked On Big 12 guy here, to talk about some college football stuff in that conference, maybe talk about the Saban firing a little bit, and getting into some of the stuff. It's interesting. He has positive UCF takes. Something you don't normally get from some, but then again, he's not based here in Orlando. So there's no thing. But that all being said, going to talk to him a little bit about UCF and the Big 12 on the Student of the Game podcast.
Awesome stuff.
That should be fun.
Yeah. Kyle Nash, thank you so much for coming on, man. Have a great weekend. Enjoy the games.
An honor, joy, and privilege, Mark Moses. But until next time, class dismissed.